Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Today is Tuesday, January 21st, 2020. On this day in 1793, the 38-year-old former King of France, Louis XVI, was executed by guillotine in Paris. Welcome to Today in True Crime, a Parcast original. Due to the graphic nature of today's crimes, listener discretion is advised. Extreme caution is advised for listeners under 13. Today we're covering the execution of Louis XVI. Let's go back to Paris in the early hours of the morning of January 21st, 1793. The sun had hardly risen when Louis XVI awoke. Somehow he had managed to sleep through the night, though it had been far from restful. Nevertheless, he got up and dressed, attended by his valet, Jean-Baptiste Clary. The two men had gotten to know each other very well over the past few months, and Louis felt comfortable with Clary even today. After Louis was ready, he and Clary left the room at the temple, the old citadel which imprisoned them, and descended the endless steps. They made their way to the confessional, where they met with a priest for Louis's last rites. Louis confided in the priest, maintaining his innocence and saying he hoped to meet his family again in a happier life. He claimed that history would exonerate him, and it was this heartfelt belief that allowed him to maintain a brave face as he talked openly about his execution. After some discussion, Louis told the father he wished to leave his royal seal to his eldest son, Louis XVII, and his wedding ring to his queen, Marie Antoinette. The priest followed Louis as he was ushered into a carriage by two guards. Around 9 o'clock in the morning, the cart departed from the temple and made its way to Place de la Révolution, where he was to be executed. A procession of drummers marched in front of the carriage. Their playing was meant to drown out cries of support from any royalists in the crowd, who lined the streets hooting and screaming. But the drummers were the least of the preparations made by the new government to quell a potential insurrection. 80,000 soldiers protected the route from the temple to the guillotine, and additional mounted soldiers accompanied the carriage. But apparently, no show of force was enough to stop Louis's supporters. The staunch royalist, Jean Baron de Batz, hatched a plot to rescue Louis and stash him at a safe house. He had reached out to hundreds of fellow royalists, but almost none showed up. Undeterred, Jean and four other men boldly stormed the carriage on their own. Of course, five men were no match for the cavalcade of soldiers protecting the cart, and the incident was over in seconds. Three of the insurgents were killed by the guards, though Jean managed to escape in the chaos. It's possible Louis didn't even hear the conflict, and had no idea anyone attempted to rescue him. At 10 a.m., the carriage reached the guillotine. The executioner was charged with cutting Louis' hair and removing the collar from his shirt. There was a small debate when Louis protested about having his hands tied. The matter was settled when the executioner proposed a compromise. He would tie the former king's hand with his handkerchief instead of rope. Afterward, Louis approached the edge of the scaffold. He was likely intending on making a grand speech, but all he managed to get out was, "I die innocent. I pardon my enemies, and I hope that my blood will be useful to the French, that it will appease God's anger." After that, the drumline resumed, playing louder than Louis could scream. He was then strapped to the plank of the guillotine, and the blade was loosed. The cut was not ideal. Reportedly, the guillotine chopped through the back of Louis's head rather than his neck, but it did its job. As the crowd jeered, authorities gathered Louis's remains and disappeared from view. Still worried about attacks from royalists, guards raced to the Madeleine Cemetery with the royal corpse. Louis was buried in a deep grave that was filled in as quickly as possible. The revolutionaries didn't want his final resting place to become a shrine. They sought to make the king the symbol of a forgotten past. The people of France needed the monarchy underground, while they built a foundation for their future over the top. Coming up, we discuss the French Revolution and the aftermath of Louis XVI's execution.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Now back to the story. On January 21, 1793, 38-year-old Louis XVI, the former King of France, was executed in one of the defining moments of the French Revolution. Louis was perhaps the most significant political figure killed during this rebellion, which lasted from 1789 to 1799. Louis XVI and his wife, Marie Antoinette, took power in 1774. They inherited a nation in the midst of financial turmoil. Even so, Louis decided to support American colonists during the American Revolutionary War, which ended in 1783. The conflict left France in dire need of financial capital. With few other options, Louis introduced new taxes to raise money. Unfortunately, the taxes were regressive and largely burdened the poorest citizens. The commoners, or the Third Estate as they were known, were furious. They had a lot to be angry about. The taxes came along with other foolish economic policies. There was hardly any regulation of the market, adding insult to injury as the wealthiest in society became even richer off the backs of the poor. As time passed and the exploitation continued, commoners began discussing rebellion. In July of 1789, a crowd stormed the Bastille, a political prison and fortress, to seize ammunition for the revolution. It didn't take long for things to escalate even further. The same month, the commoners abolished the feudal system via their own lawmaking body, the National Constituent Assembly. This made it illegal for the nobility to demand money from the Third Estate, ending their powers to tax the working class. For years afterward, the peasantry struggled to pass more reforms, fighting against the king and queen. During this time, the revolutionaries successfully publicly portrayed Louis and Marie Antoinette in a negative light, fueling anti-royal sentiment among the French. Meanwhile, other European monarchs began to worry their own peasantries would rise up. In 1792, the King of Prussia decided it was essential to violently put down the French Revolution. He wanted to set an example for any of his own people harboring thoughts of rebellion. That year, a small Prussian army tried to march on Paris, but the invasion failed miserably. French revolutionaries used their own army to stop the Prussian forces in their tracks, and the Prussians retreated with their tails between their legs. Naturally, the upset only made the French more passionate about their rebellion and gave them the morale boost they needed to formally abolish the monarchy. In August of 1792, Louis XVI was arrested and imprisoned. A few months later, in December, he was brought to trial, accused of treason and crimes against the state. By all accounts, Louis knew the proceedings were a foregone conclusion. He had accepted his fate long before the sentence was pronounced. Nevertheless, many others were surprised when he was put to death. The vote, carried out on January 15, 1793, was incredibly close. 361 deputies of the National Assembly voted for execution. 288 voted against, while 72 voted in favor of death, but subject to additional delays or further debate. That meant that a single vote condemned the former king. A week later, Louis was marched to the guillotine. To many, his end signified the beginning of something new. As one newspaper at the time described it, the blood of Louis XVI shed by the blade of the law on January 21, 1793, cleanses us of a stigma of 1,300 years. Thanks for listening to Today in True Crime. I'm Vanessa Richardson. Today in True Crime is a Parcast original. You can find more episodes of Today in True Crime and all other Parcast originals for free on Spotify. Not only does Spotify already have all of your favorite music, but now Spotify is making it easy for you to enjoy all of your favorite Parcast originals, like Today in True Crime, for free from your phone, desktop, or smart speaker. To stream Today in True Crime on Spotify, just open the app and type Today in True Crime in the search bar. At Parcast, we're grateful for you, our listeners. You allow us to do what we love. Let us know how we're doing. Reach out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. We'll be back with a brand new episode tomorrow in True Crime. Today in True Crime was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, sound designed by Andy Waits, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Carly Madden, and Freddie Beckley. This episode of Today in True Crime was written by Terrell Wells, with writing assistance by Maggie Admire. I'm Vanessa Richardson.